what is the big question that arises out of this passage? So I'm going to give you 5 seconds to think about that. It's a lot of time, I know. What is the big question that this passage answers? I need to grab my notes. And by the way, I realized, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, oh, people are going to be scared of having the wrong answer. There's not a wrong answer to that one. That is, different people look at passages, and they come up with different questions. So don't feel like, oh, I'm not going to say anything because I'm going to have the wrong question. Doesn't work like that. Different questions do naturally arise for people. And I'd be fascinated to hear your questions. So does anybody have anything at all that they thought about? What would be a question? Yeah, Daphne, go on. Yep. If you seek the Son of Man, you will be saved. So,
that's the message.
Yep. Okay. So, a question, turning that into a question, might be something like, "Who should I seek to be saved?" or something like that. Or is that? I'm trying to turn it into a question, but I'm making you. You didn't expect to have to work in the Bible talk as hard, did you, this morning? Welcome to the new and. Yeah, Lindsay. Who is good enough to be saved? Yeah. Yeah, that makes you think about a few different sorts of themes, goodness and where it comes from and stuff like that. Yeah, right. Yes, Jeff.
What does Zacchaeus love?
He used to love money, and now it's Jesus. Yeah, right. It makes you look at the transition and the things that change. Yeah, right. Joe?
Why did Jesus come?
Yep. Yeah. Great questions. You guys are firing. Yes?
Why Zacchaeus, not someone else?
Hey, that's really good. I hadn't thought of it like that, and that's fantastic. That's really, really good. Any other... yes, Ross? Do I need saving? Wow. That really brings it close, doesn't it? And I think we're meant to have it brought close. Yeah, right. Any other thoughts? Dave? What does repentance look like? Yeah, right. In the follow on in there, you see something about that in Zacchaeus' life, don't you? Yeah, fantastic. Really, really interesting. Any other things? Any other thoughts? All right, you guys have done wonderfully. I feel like you deserve certificates or ribbons or something, but I don't have any to give you. Well, you know, a lot of people look at Jesus and they think of him like Robin Hood. And he's like, okay, take from the rich, give to the poor kind of thing. You know, let's look at a social kind of equity here about what's going on. A lot of people look at Jesus like that. And I think that this takes away from that. It says, well, Jesus is that kind of caring. He does provide equity and justice, but the people that are saved go beyond the poor. It's even the rich are saved. This is a rich guy, right? He's a tax collector. And it's not about good people coming to Jesus, is it? This takes you in different directions, and it kind of says, well, Jesus came for people that are unexpected, that are beyond what you might normally expect. You know, Jesus says you can't serve God and money. He also said it's harder for a rich man to go, sorry, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say it's impossible. What we are seeing is the thing that is harder than a camel going through the eye of a needle. That's happening right here. Like, this is the remarkable thing about who gets saved and how amazing that is. You are seeing a miracle happen in this passage, and it is a wonderful thing. Now, when I did this exercise that you just did, can I just say you did it a whole lot better than me? When I first was looking at the questions that come out, I'm thinking it's about me and what I need to find out about Jesus I'm sort of going in that direction about thinking about the questions that arise. And I want to say that when we did this exercise up the front, looking at the profiles, I reckon we started heavily in the Zacchaeus end, didn't we? We were like looking at Zacchaeus. That's the stuff that's coming up. And guess where we ended up? We started getting into the Jesus territory about things in his profile that came on the horizon a whole lot more. And what I want to say is that that's been the journey I've been on. It has started out as a question about, well, what does someone need to do to be saved? Looking at it from the human end, and by the end of the passage, you're struck with the fact that Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost. And the emphasis is over here with Jesus. And so I had all these questions about you know, what it means for me to come to Jesus, you know, looking at it from that end. And where I've come to is some of the questions that you already raised. Who did Jesus come for? Because Jesus is the one who came to seek and save the lost. Let me go through this passage really quickly now. In the Bible passage, Zacchaeus is really curious about who Jesus is. He's a rich man, he's a tax collector, and he's not popular. And Eve, I love it that our kids were picking up these sorts of things. He's not popular. Zacchaeus is so curious about who Jesus is, and he's prepared to throw away convention. You know, last week we looked at the parable of the prodigal son, and you know the father hitches up his clothes and runs, and we said how in the Middle East, middle-aged men, or however old he was, don't do that. Well, this is a chief tax collector. He's a boss of tax collectors. Guess what he does? He hitches up his clothes and he runs ahead. And he climbs a tree. Kids climb trees. But Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, he ran ahead, he threw away convention, and he's climbing a jolly sycamore tree. And you got to love it. You got to love it. There is something about that that says that Jesus is worth finding out about. And this is looking at it from the human end, isn't it? You're seeing very quickly that Zacchaeus has got an interest to find out about Jesus. Because both are true. When God moves, people are curious to find out about Jesus. But equally, God's at work, and we find out that that's what trumps everything. Now, when Jesus gets to Zacchaeus, he looks right up and sees Zacchaeus. Who was it that said that he has that awareness? I think it was Lindsay said that he has that awareness of Zacchaeus, knows his name, and you know he's got Zacchaeus down. He knows exactly who he is, his circumstances, and he knows his name in order to direct him. Jesus tells him to get down immediately. And he says, it's necessary. I'm translating this quite literally. It's necessary that I come and stay with you today. And I want to say that that language is very, very, very pertinent and pointed. It uses this language that says that God's got an appointment through Jesus with Zacchaeus that day, and it is going to happen. This is God's appointment with Zacchaeus that must happen today. And Zacchaeus has been seeking Jesus. What do you find out when Jesus gets to him? There's an appointment that I've got with you. It happens today. And that's really special. So what does Zacchaeus do? Well, he climbs down from the tree, he receives Jesus into his home, and he does it with great rejoicing because this is a great and a wonderful moment in his life. He's found what he's been searching for. But actually what you found is that he's been found because someone's been searching for him. When Jesus goes into Zacchaeus' home, others are really offended. They look down their nose at Zacchaeus and they say, what is Jesus doing? He's in this sinful household. How can Jesus be the guest of such a sinner? You see, being good for some people is about who you stay with, what you do. But what we're going to find out is that being truly good is what something that Jesus, only Jesus, can give to you. And it doesn't come through your reputation, what you do, who you've been. It comes through Jesus. And we see that Zacchaeus is a changed man when he meets Jesus. And that was brought out too. We see something about what it means to repent. Because meeting Jesus doesn't mean you go on with life the same, does it? It means that you do a U-turn. You turn around and your life is completely and dramatically changed. And what do you see? Well, you see Zacchaeus saying, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." Which is pretty good turn back, pretty good payback. Now, there are lots of times in the Bible where I wish we had conversations that happen in the background. I wish we had an MP3 recording of Jesus speaking to Zacchaeus in his home as he spent time with him. I would love to know the dialogue. Wouldn't you? I mean, it'd be so good to hear. We don't have that. But I'm guessing he told him lots of things about grace, about goodness, about where it comes from. I'm guessing he was there to point the way to himself. What is the gospel all about? It is not about doing good things. It's not about who you stay with. It's about an encounter with Jesus that completely changes your life. And that happens to Zacchaeus on this day. And by the end of this story, Jesus is saying something about Zacchaeus that those people looking on want to label themselves with. The people that are looking down their noses at Zacchaeus hear that this man, this sinful man, is a son of Abraham. In other words, he is part of God's people. What a wonderful thing to hear Jesus say. Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. So here's the end of this story. Jesus surprises us by showing us that we don't have to make ourselves good to come to him. He surprises us by showing that while we think that we are seeking him, there's been this appointment from eternity. You know that passage in Ephesians 1:4 that God chose us in him before the creation of the world? Well, that has its practical application right here. God has chosen Zacchaeus before the creation of the world. And it is necessary that Jesus comes to his home today. And salvation came to his home on that God-ordained appointment that had its roots in the foundation of time. And that's pretty special. And that transforms the way you look at this whole thing. This is not just, oh, isn't it lucky that he... No, it is not lucky that Jesus met Zacchaeus. It was God ordained. And God had Zacchaeus in his sight. He knew his name. He knew all about him. And he came to seek people like Zacchaeus. And that gives you and I hope. Because it's not the goody two-shoes that Jesus came for. He didn't come for people that have got it right so that Jesus came to save them. He came for people that don't have it right, that need Jesus, that he came to seek and to save. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And I don't know if you've had that God-ordained appointment in your life yet where Jesus has come to your home and you can say at the end of the day, today, salvation has come to this home. But I'm praying that God is at work through this passage and making that so in your life today. And if you are hearing something about how wonderful and special knowing Jesus is, then you are hearing the right things. And you should respond with rejoicing like Zacchaeus. Because salvation has come to you. And it is a great and a wonderful thing that this God seeks and saves lost people. It's a wonderful thing. Well, folks, I'm going to pray for us at this point. And if you're someone who's never responded to God calling and seeking you, then you need to do that today. Let me pray. Father God, thank you that you are a good and a great God who
who doesn't come to the goody-two-shoes of society, but he came to seek and to save lost people. It means that the boundary lines of who we think are your people are not necessarily the way that you work. You work beyond what we might expect. And the lost, and I mean the really lost, the people that we would think are the furthest away from you, you are able to set up divine appointments with. And so, Father, my prayer is that if there are any here who've not responded to your calling in their life, I pray that you would speak into their lives this day. Pray that they would hear you calling, and I pray that they would respond with great rejoicing. Father, it is a wonderful thing to hear how you come to people. It is a terrific testimony to who you are and what your ways are. And we give you great thanks that you are this magnificent God, full of goodness, full of grace. And all of these things we pray in your name. Amen.